The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, April 17, 2015.
Dear friends, the Talmudic tractate Bava Metzia tells of a heated, though amusing, dispute between the rabbis over which cooking utensils might be rendered unfit for use. When the discussion turns to ovens, Rabbi Eliezer opines that if an oven is made of distinct pieces, with sand separating one tile from another, it remains kosher. The other sages, led by Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagree. Rabbi Eliezer, unaccustomed to challenge and determined to convince them he's right, musters one supporting argument after another. Still, the rabbis remain unconvinced. Finally, says the Talmud, Eliezer cries out, "If the law is as I have ruled it, let this carob tree beside us prove me correct." At his words, the carob tree growing on that spot uproots itself, moves 100 cubits away, and plants itself back into the ground. The sages, though, simply shake their heads. Eliezer, they say, the movement of a tree is no proof of the law. Next, Rabbi Eliezer shouts, "Very well, if my ruling is true, let this stream of water beside the tree prove it." And as if on command, the stream of water reverses course and begins to flow uphill. But even this fails to convince the scholars. Eliezer, they laugh, the flow of a stream is no proof of the law. Enraged, Rabbi Eliezer finally bellows, "If the ruling I have pronounced is in keeping with the law, then let heaven itself offer proof." At which point, the Eternal himself chastises the rabbis. "Why do you dispute Eliezer? You know that in all legal matters, the law is in agreement with his opinions." To which Rabbi Yehoshua rebuts, "God, you have no right to interfere. The Torah is not in heaven. It was entrusted to us at Sinai. Therefore, we do not heed your voice in this matter." And with that, the dispute was settled. But not long afterward, the Talmud says, the prophet Elijah appeared to Rabbi Natan, who asked him, "So what did the Holy One do when Rabbi Yehoshua rebuked him?" Elijah smiled and answered, "The Holy One laughed with joy, all the while repeating, 'My children have defeated me.'" One of the most unusual qualities the rabbis attribute to God is tzimtzum, the ability to make oneself smaller, allowing space for the presence of others. The Ari, Isaac Luria, taught that it was only by God's physical tzimtzum at the moment of creation that the universe could expand into existence. In the Talmudic tale of Eliezer in the oven, we witness another example of divine tzimtzum. Here it is God's decision to relinquish enough authority to empower the sages as interpreters of his law. And the rabbis teach about tzimtzum in their discussion of this week's parasha Shemini as well, which, like the legend, addresses the laws of kashrut, but also reveals unusual insight into the relationship between Moses and his brother Aaron, Israel's high priest. We find that Bayom HaShmini, on the eighth day of Aaron's ordination ceremony, as he prepares to bring a calf as a sin offering, Aaron is paralyzed with self-doubt. Unable to forgive himself for having built the golden calf, he considers himself entirely unworthy of his new and exalted role. The rabbis say that when he approaches the sacrificial altar with its horn-shaped projections, He imagines it's the calf itself and freezes until Moses reassures him that it's not the golden calf and that he has nothing to fear. Moses understands what Aaron does not. You should know, he explains to him, that God has already forgiven you. And then Moses, Aaron's younger brother, walks him through the sacrificial rite, instructing him, reassuring him each step of the way. Theirs must have been an interesting family dynamic. It's not unusual in the Torah for the younger brother to surpass the older in greatness. Isaac surpasses Ishmael, Jacob surpasses Esau. What is noteworthy about Moses and Aaron is that they alone remain a part of one another's lives. The other brothers do not. Side by side, Moses and Aaron will lead the Israelites through the wilderness. Moses' humility, his capacity for tzimtzum, makes that possible. And we witness it here in Shemini. Following the tragic deaths of two of Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, who are consumed in flame for bringing unauthorized sacrifices into the tent of meeting, Aaron is again overcome with remorse. Woe is me, he wails. So great is my transgression that such a thing has come to pass. And then just a few Torah verses later, Moses perceives that one of the animals Aaron and his remaining sons sacrifice has been offered incompletely because they have failed to eat their share of it within the tabernacle. Atonement was granted the Israelites only after the priests consumed their portion. And Moses brings the oversight to Aaron's attention. Aaron, however, explains that as a mourner, it is not fitting for him to eat of the sacrifice. And here we witness Moses' great humility. According to the rabbis, Moses, though he alone had received the sacrificial laws from God, responds, "You know, Aaron, you're right. Your knowledge of the priestly laws is greater than mine." And he sends out a herald announcing, "I was mistaken about the law, and my brother Aaron instructed me." Moses makes himself smaller. He who knows the law as no one else possibly can admits that he doesn't know everything, and that his brother possesses wisdom he does not. It is because of this sensitivity, this humility, that this pair of siblings can live together when so many others can't. And so we learn the value of tzimtzum in our relationships with family, relationships that are at times the most frustrating, but also the most precious, and in all human interaction. At work, at school, in social situations, we all know people who fill every available space, make no room for others, who have to be right, must have the last word. And we know others who are just the opposite, who through their humility, their tzimtzum, are able to build up, make space for those around them. It's not easy to be that sort of person. The Torah says that never again did there arise another like Moses. Still, it is a quality toward which we should strive if we would strengthen and nurture our most precious relationships.